24 people in Washington state have been shot and killed by law enforcement officers this year. That's according to a group that advocates police reform. Those kinds of deaths have become shorthand for ongoing tensions between police and civilians over bias, police culture, and use of force. You're listening to KNKX. I'm Simone Alisea, and Sue Rahr has been embroiled in that tension. The former King County Sheriff is now the executive director of the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission. I sat down with Rahr to talk about how policing has changed and how to build trust between law enforcement and the public. From your perspective, what are the ways that you see the public mistrusting police and vice versa?
Race continues to be an open wound. It's difficult to talk about race. It's difficult to talk about race and policing because it's such a sensitive topic. The historical role of policing in enforcing Jim Crow laws, things like that, I think many police officers don't recognize how deep and how long that influence has lasted. Every institution in our society has problems with bad racial history, with current bias. It's not just the narrow swath of policing. The issue of bias and a sense of injustice are all around us.
So what can law enforcement do to get beyond that?
You know, back in the 80s and 90s, we started talking about community-oriented policing. It got compartmentalized that there is a community-oriented police officer, or we have a storefront station where we do community policing. To the degree that we can create opportunities for non-enforcement interaction, I think that is going to go a long ways.
I was recently at a public forum, which I think is the kind of thing that when police officers or folks like yourself talk about community-oriented policing is one of the kinds of things you would be talking about. At this particular forum, King County Sheriff John Urquhart was there, members of the Black Law Enforcement Association of Washington were there. Several people asked, you know, why do people keep getting shot? It was essentially, that was the question that mm-hmm. was asked, you know, why does this keep happening? And Sheriff Urquhart responded, I wish I knew, I wish I could lay it out for you, I don't know, I can't answer that question. But when I talked to people afterwards, they weren't really impressed by that. There was not a comfort.
Right.
One woman I spoke to, Alicia DeLong, she was a friend of Giovanni Joseph McDade, who was shot and killed by Kent police in June. Here's what she had to say about sort of what she didn't or did get out of this interaction.
Okay.
And to hear that is completely frustrating, especially to stand in solidarity with a family that has lost somebody so recently, and to see that it has happened in the exact same area less than 2 months later, for him to say, I don't know, I don't think this conversation went anywhere.
Right. Well, first, I know in a forum type setting, it is very difficult to have constructive conversation because people are upset. And I understand the human need to get a simple, straightforward answer, but there isn't a single simple answer. You know, why did the young man take the actions he did? Why did the police decide to use those particular tactics? You have to know lots and lots of details about the situation to be able to answer at least the tactical side of it. And I wish that we could ask ourselves, why, out of the hundreds of thousands of interactions that police have with people, many of them involving conflict, why don't they result in a tragedy? What goes right?
You had spoken earlier about foundations of racism in all of our institutions.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That is inescapable.
Mm-hmm.
How can we think about all of these interactions that go right when mm-hmm. the interactions that go wrong are so charged?
Well, and I think one of the things that I frequently ruminate about is when a tragedy happens between a police officer and a citizen, and you look at what led in that person's personal history and the officer's personal history, there is often influence of mental illness, addiction, a lot of other social issues that have not been dealt with. And so I have to fight feeling defensive and saying, come on, you guys, it's not just the police. We need the systems need to work better together.
Can we train our way into a solution here?
We can make huge progress through that. When you look at policing historically, in the 60s and 70s, there was a huge shift to go to what was called professional policing. I don't want to know too much about you personally. Just tell me about the facts of the crime. We should be doing exactly the opposite of that. Because when people call the police, for the most part, they need help. They need some reassurance. And what they need is that human contact. And we need to be able to teach our officers that you can be safe, you can be smart, and still be a still behave in a human way. And that's what is going to gain cooperation.
All right, Subar, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to me today.
Great. Thanks for having me.